Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. We are live from the Investors Bank Studios. Good morning. A Tuesday morning where Boomer told you something before everybody else had it, with the Jets preparing for a monster offer for Kirk Cousins. It's everywhere now in the papers and the websites and everything else. We talked about it here yesterday. You got the pace of play in baseball changing a little bit more. Yoenis Cespedes is doing yoga and the Yankees are taking batting practice. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right, Gio. I'm a little troubled this morning.
A little troubled.
I mean, already Judge and Stanton are opening the season in a slump. it's already they're not hitting home runs. Everybody expected them to hit 100 home runs yesterday in batting practice, and they only hit six. I'll tell you, I would be worried if I'm a Yankee fan.
Yeah, of course.
Now.
I mean, we had a couple callers yesterday who were upset. I mean, this really does reinforce their fears that things are going to be going. I guess Ellsbury had a better batting practice yesterday than both those guys. So you know what that means. You got to keep them on the team. You got to start them in center.
Well, the good news is that, and by the way, you know, they were, they said about 2,000 fans showed up.
Yeah.
And I forget, I may have probably Joel Sherman or somebody covering the Yankees down there wrote somewhere, yes, I don't know, it's a blog site or I saw it on Twitter or whatever. Who knows, right? You get information from 97 different sources. They were saying how the crowds, everybody thought they were going to be like, you know, 10,000 people. That when A-Rod and Giambi and that whole crew were here and Roger Clemens and Randy Johnson, that was like superstars walking through the gate. And there were thousands more people there to see them. I was a little shocked. I thought that there would be more, even though 2,000 people, you know, 3 hours before practice or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, it's watching batting practice.
That's a big deal. There's no question about it. But not as big as when those guys were. A-Rod and Clemens and Randy Johnson and Giambi and all those guys were on the Yankees back in the day. That was a spring training that was, you know, I guess attended really, really well. So I don't know. They look unbelievable together. That's all I can say.
I know.
You see them standing together.
Oh, just like, right. You know, just looking at them. It's just so physically imposing. It's unreal.
And then you know your boy Giancarlo Stanton is sitting there after doing his press thing. And he's got his guns hanging out. He's
got that
tight fitting shirt. Oh God, you know, it's just amazing. It reminded me back, you know, when I was that age.
Oh, stop it! You never looked like that.
Oh yes, I
mean,
did.
I'm sure you were an unbelievable.
What do you mean?
But not like that.
Yes, I did.
That's a different world.
You
that's
see,
a
like,
different level of
when I was
man.
Let me see. You were born in what?
1982.
All right, so I was an NFL player from 84 to 97.
All right.
So you would not remember. I don't know. You know,
I mean, there's pictures and stuff,
yeah.
You know, I could look back at.
Oh, I did underwear ads.
I'm sure you were in amazing shape. You still are. However, Giancarlo Stanton, different level. That's a different level.
Just made me think, like, wow.
What's it
he's
like?
He's really big.
Yeah, right. No, I know. I always think about
it. And he's not afraid to flaunt it either.
No, without a doubt.
Hey, look at this. Look at this gun over here. You know what I'm saying? I
mean, he backs it up consistently, which is something that's why he's allowed to get away with it. Because he looks like that. He flaunts it. He's got the tight-fitting jerseys and the press conferences. He's got the arms hanging out because he's able to do what he does. I mean, the Yankees right now, they feel like a juggernaut, which is going to make people a little bit nervous, because last year there's nothing better than what the Yankees did last year.
Because it was unexpected.
Exactly. Because now the expectations change over the course of the season. Of course, you're upset that you don't make it to the World Series, you lose to the Astros, things change. But when it comes out of nowhere like that, there's nothing better. Because you fall in love with the team, you didn't think they were going to do everything, everything's gravy, you're playing with house money, all the whatever cliche phrases you want. You know, of course, going into this year now, things have changed. However, I'd still love to be in their spot and to have all these expectations, because
When you look at the American League, it's so top-heavy, you feel like there's like four teams there in the American League that are really, really good, and you throw the Red Sox back in there with J.D. Martinez as they finally get that deal done.
A five-year deal done, right?
Five-year deal, $110 million.
So that's a lot of money,
yep.
But the term is not what he expected.
No, it's not.
He probably wanted a Hosmer thing.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a guy who basically had a year of his career being what he was, and a half a year that was amazing.
So I always think you got to be really careful with these freaking contracts and stuff like that. At least, you know, Stanton, under the contract that he had signed with the Marlins, came through with a huge year last year.
Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you, Stanton's going to find it uniquely different here, because everybody is going to be hanging on every at bat, every pitch, every situation.
Sure.
And he is basically, I don't want to say he was living in relative anonymity, which was not the case. I mean, everybody knew who he was, but he's playing for a crappy baseball team.
Yeah, but remember last year, though, when he was chasing the whole home run thing, he's like, to me, 61 really is the number, so 62, if I get to 62, I feel like I'd be the real home run champ.
Right.
Remember when he was talking about
that? Which is amazing to me, because Barry Bonds was his freaking batting coach.
Yeah, I know, for a little bit before that didn't work out. Yeah, of course. But I think that the pressure that was there and the fact that he was chasing stuff and every night people were watching him to see how far he could go, I think that'll help a little bit with him being in New York, because that was a big national story.
Yeah,
nobody was at the games.
But you know, the thing about it is, though, nobody cared what this whole manufactured hatred for Derek Jeter over a fan base that couldn't care less. You know what I'm saying? About what the, because it's an app. I know that there's some fan somewhere that actually gives a crap about the Marlins, but it's not like playing for the Yankees. It's the biggest fan base in America.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's
I've already felt it from some of my Yankee fan friends. Like, they're genuinely excited about, like we all are, about to see what the hell this is going to look like.
Of course.
But they're also really guarded about the whole conversation. Now, I don't know who's driving a conversation. I guess it's probably the media more so than the fans. And, you know, when you have guys that have been following baseball and covering baseball for all these years, and they're there every day, and now they're giving them nicknames and all this other crap that goes along with, like, what goes on with the Mets and all.
Remember, there was like 4 days of this radio station where the afternoon show took calls on what to name the bullpen. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? So, a couple of my friends have basically said to me, "Goes, man, I don't like really they or they don't like just the whole feeling like the." They're already on their way to the World Series. They just got to get the regular season out of the way.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I mean, I think that the smart Yankee fan who's not just totally crazed by this says that you got the Red Sox in the division, and they got Martinez, and that's not going to be easy, even though the Yankees roster is better. You've got the Indians. You've got the Astros. The American League is not going to be a pushover situation.
That's the deal. And it really, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to pitching. I'm telling you, it always does. Everybody who follows baseball knows baseball. To expect to win every game 10-9, you're out of your mind. And, you know, you're going to have run into these great pitching staffs for some of these teams. I think, you know, like what Houston has done here
is going to be
pretty special, because the guys that they throw out on the mound every 5 days are going to give you a chance to win because of, you know, their ability to win in big spots like they did last year. My whole thing is, look, the Yankees are probably, if not the greatest all-time sports franchise, they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a top three sports franchise. And the expectations are so off the charts. And from Boone and everybody else, and even some of the comments from Stanton yesterday, they're kind of, you know, I don't know, they're kind of head-scratching, if you ask me.
But what about it? Just the fact that they're so confident, or they're buying into the hype. I don't necessarily think that's a total negative thing, because if they were worried about buying into the hype, like, oh, I don't want to buy into it because something bad could happen, that's worse to me than someone saying, yeah, I think we're going to be good because we are.
You know who has hype every single year? And every single year it's the same thing. It's a new season. We have to start over. It's a lot of hard work. We got to put the time and effort in. We got to, you know, don't take anything for granted. You know, it's the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's the same message every single year. And I would probably say, because of what they've accomplished over the last 20 years, that they're right there at the Yankees in terms of sports franchises, in terms of legacy and who they are and how they win and what it takes to win, and how their players who led by Tom Brady always live up to those expectations. I don't think any one of them ever says, yeah, we're buying into this. Like, you know, like, oh, yeah, this is going to be our year. Like, there are Yankee players talking like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you give me the quote that really bothers you, you know, because to me, you can read into it more, read between the lines, make a bigger deal out of it than probably it is, right? I mean, so what is the alternative of someone saying, yeah, you know, we have to live up to the expectations, or, yeah, I think I'm very excited for what this team could do? I mean, what is the... What would you rather hear than that? Like, you know, I think we could really suck this year.
I'm not saying that. It's just like there's this feeling. Like I felt like this around the Giants last year. We all felt like after an 11-5 season, you know, Eli coming off a decent year, this is going to be a great run for the Giants. The Giants added Brandon Marshall. They traded, you know, they drafted Evan Ingram. This is going to be great. And then all of a sudden, things can go off the rails relatively quickly in professional sports.
But they had a terrible offensive line that they didn't address. Now, you want to tell me that the starting staff of the Yankees is the equivalent of the offensive line of the Giants? Because I don't see it that way.
No, I'm not saying that they're like that poor, as turned out to be that poor. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, with the guys that you have at the top of the rotation, you could probably go against any pitching staff in baseball. But at the end of the day, it's going to take seven or eight guys, as all baseball fans know, in the starting rotation at some point in time to go out there and win the occasional game or two. My thing is, you're not going to win every game 10-9. And I think there's this mindset that everybody thinks or feels that because you have all these great home run hitters in the lineup that, you know, there's going to be a moment where there'll be 10 days where they all hit, let's say, seven or eight home runs. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be off the charts. It's gonna be, oh my God. Then there's gonna be those 2 to 3 weeks, and you gotta pray to God that they don't all go into the slump at the same time.
So do you want them to add another starting pitcher? You're thinking that with the guys that are still available out there, and everybody brings up Cobb and Lynn because those are the two guys that are left.
I would.
Now it's just a matter of fitting in under.
You know why I would? Because if they fail because one of these guys gets hurt, or one of these guys is in a prolonged slump like Aaron Judge was last August, I'm telling you, I think all of the hype, all of the buildup, all the expectations and everything else, plus a new manager, plus the decision to bring in a new inexperienced manager, you know, you got to be all in right now, right?
Yeah, you know what it feels like to me? You know, you accuse me of being negative about certain things, but it feels like to me that you're searching for reasons to dislike the Yankees heading into 2018. Like, you're looking for cracks in armor that are not there, and you're trying to project the worst-case scenario.
Okay, so I was thinking about this yesterday with you. You tend to put, like, words in my mouth. You'd be a very good political commentator. Like, you could go on like MSNBC or CNN or Fox News, and you can go on and discuss things because you could put things in people's mouths better than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
Well, what am I wrong about, though? Are you not doing that?
No, I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to be the voice of reason here.
What? You act like the Yankees came out yesterday.
You know what? I don't know. I always say like this. Don't ever touch the money.
And who did? Give me the quote where you think that they did.
I think all you have to do is just listen to, like, I know Stanton said yesterday about, you know, hanging out with his guys in a locker room. I don't know if he's being sarcastic or if he's being serious. I don't know. I mean, it takes hard work to get through a 162-game season and at least get a wild card, if not winning the division, right?
And you don't think that they understand
that? It takes a lot of work, right?
You think that they don't understand that they're going to go into this whole thing? You know, well, I think we could be lazy and be all right. I don't see that at all. I mean, if anything, this is a team. You want to say that they're going into this season thinking that things are just going to fall into place? You got a majority of this team that's got a bad taste in their mouth losing in the ALCS.
I hope so. I hope so. You know why? Because I want to have good baseball teams, like I want to have good basketball teams, like I want to have good football teams, and like I want to have great hockey teams.
Well, this is about the only good team that we have around here right now. So that's why searching for negative reasons for them to not perform up to expectations.
I'm not trying to search for negative reasons. I mean, they're on this radio station, and like I said, when they were in the playoffs,
yeah.
I mean, it's good for business, and business is a booming when the Yankees are cranking it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the best thing I saw this offseason, honestly, was the Yankees figuring out a way to add Stanton, because it just makes the interest off the charts. So everybody that listens to this radio station knows, as the home of the Yankees, that This is their year. Everybody is feeling it. Everybody is expecting it. And I'm always like, man, God, you know, like last year was the opposite. Nobody expected it, and they gave you something, and it was why it was such a lovable team and a likable team and a team that you could get behind. And now all of a sudden, okay, now the expectations are real.
Sure. But, you know, with the Yankees, most of their existence has carried heavy expectations and large expectations. That's what it is. That's what it's known to be a Yankee. When you walk into that clubhouse, everybody expects you to be great. It's the teams that don't normally have the expectations, the franchises that have never really gotten there. For example, I know this is a totally different type of franchise. You remember how jacked up everybody was about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into Hard Knocks and the expectations
and the personality of Jameis Winston and all that
stuff. It's
going to
be great and all the cutters here, and we're going to have an unbelievable team, and the defense is great and the offense is great. We got Mike Evans. I mean, the team was horrendous. It's franchises like that that have big expectations that have, I mean, I have a Super Bowl in their history, but I mean, it was a long time ago. Totally different people, different coach, everything else. But it's franchises like that that scare me when they start to go into a season with high expectations.
Like you told me that, like you started next season saying the Cleveland Browns are winning the AFC North.
And yeah, right. Going, and everybody was buying in, and right. You got big quotes from Hugh Jackson. We're going to go from 0-16 to 16-0. That would scare me.
But the one thing I will say, look, it's the greatest sports organization in America. That's what the Yankees are. Let's go to Jason in New Jersey. Jason, what's happening?
Boomer, you're my man. I love you, but you got to give the Yankees a little bit of a break here, man. You're trying to create a cloud of doubt over the optimism that everyone's feeling right now for the New York Yankees. I know your Rangers are struggling, and I know the Mets haven't done much in the offseason, but can we please stay positive here?
All right, well, Jason, let me explain a couple things for you right now. The Rangers suck, and they're going to trade half the team away. I get it by next Monday. I get all that stuff. I'm a realist. I understand what has to be done, what needs to be done, and what should be done. As far as my Mets are concerned, they've done a lot of stuff in the offseason. They spent over $150 million. They've actually are going to field a legitimate Major League Baseball team, and it's all about their pitching staff. I just got done saying that the Yankees are the greatest franchise, sports franchise in America.
You're
so
funny.
If that isn't positive enough for you, then Jason, I don't know what the hell is.
You are funny.
I know. You did recover yourself, and I did hear you say that, Boomer, but the other part of this that you got to remember, everyone's blowing up Todd Frazier like he's going to be the savior.
Well, don't worry about the Mets.
Nobody's doing that, by the way.
He was great for you guys, so don't stop. He was great for you guys.
Who's blowing up Todd Frazier?
By the way, we needed a third baseman. We got one. That's what we do
as Mets. It was an okay signing. I think people were happy about it.
Mr. Jason, aren't you worried after watching yesterday's batting practice that these guys are starting the season in a slump?
Absolutely not. It's the first batting practice. I didn't watch it, by the way.
Well, you should have, sir. What kind of fan are you? I watched it and you didn't. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Joe, what's up?
Morning, guys. Hey, Gio, congratulations on the baby.
Thanks, Joe. What's up this morning?
I got to take Boomer's side on this one. You know, not that you worried everything's going to go wrong, but, you know, slumps happen. If Judge didn't have the first half of the season he had last year with everybody that was out,
right.
I don't think we would have been anywhere near where we were last year at all. And, you know, with the start, and the one thing about adding Stanton is that if there's a slump with Judge, you're not going to feel it because hopefully Stanton's going to pick up. But like Boomer said, you know, five guys could slump at one time, and that happens. If your pitching staff isn't there to pick you up, we're going to have a problem. That's why I wouldn't mind seeing Arrieta come by.
Yeah. Well, that's a little much. I thought
they're not going to fit him in.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. You know, the only thing I'm saying is that these guys this is a young group of guys, and they, you know, I know that they're going to work hard. I know they're going to do their thing. I'm just kind of let's just pump the brakes a little bit. And can we just wait and see what the first 2 months of the season looks like?
Yeah, I do not feel the we're going to win the World Series hands down movement that you're feeling. I feel like people are excited. I feel like they're really, really excited to see the lineup, but I have not gotten that overwhelming cockiness from the Yankees and their fans just yet.
What are you smoking?
I'm serious. I feel like they're modestly confident.
You've been in like the whole baby thing now.
No, I have not. I have not heard a lot of that. You're not thinking straight.
Let's go to Lena in Lake Grove, my girl Lena. Lena, what's happening there?
Hey, good morning, Boomer and Gio. How are you?
Great, Lena.
How are you?
I'm okay. Gio, congratulations on Sabrina Rose.
Thank you, Lena.
You're very welcome. And Boomer, if I could just say, you know, it's all about football with me, you know.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed, you know, being part of the show and calling with football questions and stuff like that. And even though football's over, like, you guys, I DVR your show because I'm learning about other sports that, you know, I have interest in now, you know. And I really, you know, relate that to all of you guys.
Are you a Met or Yankee fan?
My family's a Yankee fan. Baseball, I like baseball, don't get me wrong, but I like the postseason.
Yeah.
I need action. That's just the kind of person I am. It's like too quiet for me in a way.
That's what I'm talking about, Lita. You're my type of girl.
Yeah,
you like
action.
You
know action. What I'm saying? I need that fire. But,
you need some action and fire.
I love you guys.
Thank
I love
you.
All of you. God bless, and I'm always watching and DVRing Boomer and Gio.
Well, thanks, right, Lita. It's awesome to hear.
All right. It's 620 on the Fan. Coming to you from the Investors Bank Studio. Love Lita, man.
Yeah, she really is that positive
She's
energy
awesome.
We needed after the black cloud that you brought to the studio?
You
this
are
morning.
Unbelievable. I swear to God, if you put more words in my mouth or you try to interpret what I'm talking
negativity
about,
negativity fog.
I'm not negative.
Oh my God!
Hey, USA hockey team beat Slovakia last night.
I know, good for them.
I know there's a
still
Bill Murray
alive.
Joke in there somewhere, but it's we beat them 5-1. It was a good game.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
It's too bad our new digital guy Tom Izzo hasn't started yet and isn't here filming this past break, because that was a good one.
Yeah.
A boomer in the break, taking bites of hard-boiled eggs, going, where's Hurtin' Scovina these days? Where'd that go? Eddie!
Well,
Eddie,
actually,
with Bosnia, Herzegovina, Monte de Zegro. That's where we know that's where that is. Yes.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Well, we were actually discussing who has the best uniforms in the Olympics.
Right.
I think the men's speed skating outfits by the Americans are awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
Everything else average. The bobsleds and the losers have some pretty good outfits.
Ian, who made those uniforms?
Who made what?
The ones you like.
I don't know. I have no idea. What are you asking me? Who?
I know what he's trying to set you up for, and I was actually going to say it. My favorite of the U.S. stuff is the stuff that was in your office this morning as I was getting my makeup.
Oh, sweet. Like what I'm wearing right now.
That and the hoodie you got in there.
Well,
yeah.
I've been trying to get a speed skating outfit, but they won't send me one. I don't know why.
God. What would I look like in one of those things?
Like a stuffed sausage.
Yeah, I know. It would be
You'd
horrible.
Look like a pig in a blanket.
That would be... Oh, my God.
That would be disgusting.
We don't need to see either of you in spandex this early in the morning. I don't think that
no,
would be
Well,
good.
I ever. That matter. Yeah, I mean, I don't like any of these uniforms, to be honest with you.
I mean, you got to admit, though, that the speed skating, the short track speed skating is insane. You have to admit that.
Very aggressive.
You know, I have a tough time getting into a lot of the winter Olympic
sports. I know you were
sports.
Big into the ice skating last night.
The bobsledding I was into, actually.
Your boy Mark Chernoff came in to me this morning. He goes, you know, NBC lied. I said, why did they lie? They said they were going to have ice skating on at 7 o'clock on the NBC Sports Network, and there was nothing there. It's just Liam McEwen talking to somebody about something else. I'm sitting there waiting for, ice dancing and everything else.
He was waiting for the ice dancing.
Yeah, and then he goes, well, I'm turning on at 8 o'clock on NBC, and it's still they didn't have it. And then all of a sudden they had like 30 pairs getting ready to go, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, the thing's going to go until like 1 o'clock in the morning. And he's right.
Yeah, no, it does. Sometimes
false
it does drag on.
False advertising by NBC because they know that the figure skating is the most popular of all the sports.
Got to build the audience, right?
Got to build the audience, and they got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. But they screwed the people on the East Coast here, and he was very upset about
you
that.
You know, I want to start a new segment, Out of Context Mark Chernoff, because this morning when I walked by your office, he was talking to you, and he said this phrase as I walked by. If that bag of bagels was any heavier, he would have died. And I said, what? Like, I was like, I hope everybody's okay. And I asked you, did I hear that right? And apparently I did, and luckily.
You heard it right, but it's attached to a very serious story.
I know, but that's all I heard, so I didn't know that. You know, that's all I heard, so I didn't know it was a serious story.
Right.
So I was just sort of, so now you're
now
upset.
Now it's awkward, yeah.
I mean, it was just, that's what I heard. It was out of context. So that's where the humor is in the out of context.
But the danger is that the in context could be
very serious. Well,
and
for those who are very sensitive
this.
Over there, I guess.
He looks like
you know.
He's going to kill me with his eyes. God.
I'm not going to kill you.
Well, what? What's? I just said I was out of context. I didn't know what was going on.
How about if I just punch you in the face? How out of context would that be?
For what? What did I do? I didn't do anything.
I'm just saying, but I mean, that could be out of context.
No, it would be in context, I think. That wouldn't be out of context. All right, CeeLo, go
I mean, just out of the blue, I just punch you in the face. That's out of context.
Surprise attack.
What do you... Now I'm scared. All right, do the update. All right. And then Boomer can eat his apples.
Good times. The big spectacle down in Tampa yesterday. First full squad workout for the Yankees. 2,000 fans showed up, most of them hoping to see pretty much a glorified home run derby breakout between Aaron Judge and the newcomer Giancarlo Stanton. When all was said and done, 6 home runs between them. 2 for Judge.
I heard Judge missed like 6 balls. Like
swing and miss? I heard there were a lot of pop-ups.
He would have struck out.
Oh, well, we see plenty of that this year, I'm sure. Yeah. So Judge had 2, Stanton had 4. And Stan hit the F in George M. Steinbrenner Field high above the left center field scoreboard at one point, and he was into it.
We're all excited to watch, too. So, you know, we're our own fans, and we understand everyone in the stands, too. So,
see that?
You get the happy medium.
What's so bad about
that? We're all exciting to watch. Oh, okay. Let me pat myself in the
back. Are they not? Are they lying about that?
I'm the best radio talk show host at WFAN.
I mean, what do you want them to do? They are exciting to watch.
That's out of context, Eddie.
I mean,
this is what you're going to get with Boone and Callaway. These guys, embrace
man.
It. Pat yourselves on. I'm going to pat you on the back. You pat yourself on the back. Pat me on the back.
Give me a big hug.
Right.
Go do some. Go do some curls like Al Dukes with his skinny jeans on in the gym.
Oh, God. All right. So Stan's patting himself on the back. With Judge, though, we learned this last season, he hasn't quite embraced that like new feeling yet of kumbaya and everything. He's not always quick with the juicy quote. So he was asked what he thinks of Stanton in his initial days here.
From what I've seen so far, he's just a guy that's going to go out there and just do his job, get the work done.
So there you go. Very matter of
get
fact.
Get the work done. That's the key phrase.
So there's one Yankee alike right now, basically.
Aaron Judge, man, that guy.
He's perfect.
He's a stud.
He's perfect. There's nothing wrong with that man.
Hold on.
It's unbelievable.
Kenny and Woodbridge. Kenny, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, Boom. How you doing, gentlemen?
All right. How
what's
you doing,
up, Kenny?
Very well. First of all, Gio, I have to tell you, you are putting words in his mouth.
Yes.
And I like Boomer, but I'm not a devout Boomer fan, but you are putting words in his mouth.
What words did I put in his mouth?
Well, you made a synopsis of what he said, and that's not what he said. What he said, and I'm a Yankee fan, is basically that a year ago, which is just before last season started, I had my fingers crossed that we'd hit 500 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
We had a wonderful year. It was great. But let's not forget, just a year ago, we were lucky to make 500. So I'm going to take it step by step. I'm rooting for them. I'm hoping for them. But I'm not jumping ahead.
That's what I'm talking about, Kenny.
But
Boomer also took it to the level of, you know, I tell you, these expectations, it's tough, you know, when you get all eyes are on you and this staff, I don't know, you need pitching, you need 7 or 8 guys. I don't think they have that.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
you're not putting words in my mouth
You were pointing out imperfections.
Be careful synopsizing on what I'm talking about, right? Pay attention to me, what I'm saying.
No, I do. I do all the time. And I think today you felt like you needed to point out some blemishes on the Yankees. That was maybe
I didn't try to point out any blemishes on the Yankees. All I tried to do is try to say it seems like there's a lot of hope and hype and everything else like that. And hope and hype is, well, I think hope is good. I think hype is bad.
How'd that work out for the Mets last year?
That's what I'm saying. I don't like hype. I like hope.
You can't compare the two. This is what I was saying before. The Yankees, throughout their history, have gone into spring training with massive expectations. You put that uniform on, you know that spotlight is on you. There's not a person in the world that doesn't understand that. The Mets are not that franchise.
They even got Brian Cashman talking about winning a title. I mean, when you start talking about crap like that, it's
touching
like
the money.
Right. Thank you.
All right.
And you over there, stop touching the money.
I'm not touching any.
Touching
I never said that the Yankees are going to win
the
World Series.
It's ridiculous.
He's not even a Yankee.
He's already touching the money.
I'm not touching anything.
Maybe
I didn't
he's
even
to put
say
the Maloik on him.
No, I'm saying that it's okay to be excited and hopeful about a team that's got a roster like that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not going to change the outcome of the season if you're happy and hopeful about them doing well. That's all.
So yesterday was billed as the Stanton Judge show for BP, but not to be forgotten, Gary Sanchez, he hit 3 himself, including one that actually left the complex, and Aaron Boone was asked about his power-hitting catcher.
Gary rakes. That's what I think. He's special.
He's special now,
there.
Too.
He's special.
No, everybody's great.
Good.
Everybody's special. Oh, this is going to be
fighting
great.
A losing battle today, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Highlight of the day for Boone, though, his first official address to the entire team.
It was something that... you know, I won't forget. This was one of the funnest things I got to do with the job so far was standing up in front of these guys today.
And the theme of that speech, understanding those expectations and that they're huge and that they have to embrace them. And Brian Cashman agreed. He spoke with reporters Monday, said he needs another ring ASAP. He's like, I got him. I've got plenty of rings, but there are people in the front office that don't, so we need to get them one soon. He did compliment the defending champion Astros as well as the Red Sox, who officially bolstered their lineup with the signing of J.D. Martinez. It's a front-loaded five-year, $110 million deal, including opt-out clauses after years two and three. In Port St. Lucie, Yoenis Cespedes hoping a different approach to his offseason workout routine will make for a healthier 2018. He ditched the 900-pound bear squats for some yoga.
When I show up down here, my lower back of my body was very tight, and I haven't felt that yet. So it's, yoga's been working for me.
That's obviously right. Cespedes through his interpreter, Carlos Guillen.
Well, I'm happy he's trying something different. Yeah. I mean, I have not. I did yoga one time in my life. That was it. So I can't really tell you the benefit. I know people that I know swear by it.
You didn't like it?
No, it was weird.
Didn't do much for you.
If you did naked yoga, you'd love it.
I don't believe so. Yoga. No. I don't think that would be a good look for anybody. But it's good. I'm glad that they're changing approach because something needed to change, especially with a guy who's had issues like him and hamstrings and legs and all that garbage.
Him and Syndergaard. So we'll see how it works out.
I'll take Yoenis. Yes. I like Yoenis.
Well, Yoenis expects the Mets to return to the playoffs if they can remain healthy and personally says he wants to be the National League MVP. Meantime, Mickey Callaway looking for ways to get Wilmer Flores' bat in the lineup. Now that Todd Frazier figures to be the everyday third baseman, it means Flores needs to add some more versatility to his game. So Callaway told him to grab an outfield glove and shag some fly balls.
This kid can hit. Not only can he hit lefties really well, he does a pretty good job against righties, and we need his bat in the lineup.
So the outfield would be another way to do it. Flores is open to it. Not the first time he's been asked to learn a new position.
I'll learn how to play first base.
Yep.
To be in the lineup, if I have to do it in the outfield to get at least one more game, I'll do it.
There you go. Refreshing attitude from a guy who simply wants to play. After weeks of negotiations with the Players Association, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred announcing a series of pace of play rule changes. No pitch clock for 2018, but mound visits will be limited to 6 per game. That includes managers, coaches, and players. So hopefully that'll slow things down.
It might slow things down, actually.
How do you figure?
Well, I mean, if you have only a limit of 6 mound visits and a guy's struggling and you've got issues and he's out there and he's got to sit out there and it takes longer and he's going to take more time in between pitches.
You just yank his ass out of the game then.
And so then what does that do? It adds time because now you're making a pitching change. And then also, think about this. What's the penalty?
The penalty of what?
What's the penalty of going over pit mound? You got an attitude, but what's the penalty
there
of going?
There isn't one. The umpire just...
Exactly.
Okay.
So then create the scenario for me now where it's the 7th mound visit. What's going to happen?
The ump's going to say you can't go out there.
Okay, and what does that do? Adds time.
Do we really think that...
This is an asinine rule. Okay. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in the last 20 years. This is almost on par with the All-Star game and Bud Selig and how screwing that thing up. That's how dumb this is because it makes no impact at all.
Automatically give the team that's at bat an extra out.
The team that's at bat?
All right, how about ball one?
Extra out? So you go out there for a 7th time, we're going to give you an extra out.
What about a walk?
I
hate the fact that we even have to talk about it.
We really think teams aren't going to keep track?
Why do we always have to mess with baseball? What's wrong with baseball? I'll tell you what's wrong with baseball. The freaking DH. That's what's wrong with baseball.
Well, I mean, I think the teams, if you think about it, there was, I think, something like 9 mound visits in the first 5 innings of World Series Game 7.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Right. So you're telling me that it's just going to be that simple for these teams to change what they're doing?
If that's the rule, it's the rule.
But it's also with no penalty.
Okay, but they said the umpires have to enforce it.
Okay.
So if they say you can't do that, and then you throw them out of the game. You get ejected, no?
You get ejected, and so now it's working counterproductively as to what you wanted to do. Yeah, so now a guy's out of the game. You just added time. Now the manager comes out. He argues.
Right.
It's stupid. There's nothing to gain out of this.
You really think that players and coaches and managers are going to risk repeatedly getting thrown out just because they don't get a 7th mound visit?
No, not repeatedly, but it could could happen a lot. I do think so early on. What this was is they wanted a pitch clock. The Players Association didn't want to give them a pitch clock. And then they came up with this silly thing because they think it's going to work, and it's dumb. It's dumb on all levels because there's no penalty.
If Rod Manfred would watch how I handled the game this past year against his softball team and how quickly we were done with that game in about an hour and 15 minutes, if he could just somehow make teams do it that way, then they'd have no problem.
Did you have commercial breaks and stuff?
No commercial breaks.
Okay,
man.
All right. What's the problem?
Right, Al?
It's very fast.
And what's the point about running off the field, Al?
You run off the field, you run on the field, and then you quick pitch their hitters. We get in and out.
Right.
Losers walk.
That's right. Losers walk, champions run. It's basically a respect for the game.
A lot of deep counts in slow pitch softball, right?
No.
A lot of foul balls?
No.
Obviously, that's the point. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I went high and tight on Jenny Finch, though. What does that take any slack from her? I can tell you that.
So you actually think this is going to help? I'm curious.
I don't see it backfiring in this horrendously bad way where guys are going to be getting into screaming matches with the umpires.
Even if there's one of those, it's unnecessary.
One and how many?
I mean, how many minutes are you going to save off a game by limiting these mound
visits? Oh, you guys are like giving me a headache.
How many minutes? Do you know how many? Sometimes there's
guys,
four
in
an inning.
It doesn't matter. Let's go to Anthony in Belleville. Anthony, what's happening?
Boomer Geo and CeeLo. Oh yeah.
Boomer Geo and CeeLo. Sounds good.
How you doing? Hey, Gio, I think you could take Boomer there. He's threatening to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go over there and hit him real hard when he's taking a bite of his egg. Maybe CeeLo can help you a little bit, too.
Yeah, if we teamed up, maybe. I mean, I have modest expectations for my punch power right now.
You got that Italian in you, baby.
Yeah, I do think, though, with the anger, you know how they say people with the adrenaline goes, you could do anything, like you lift a car or whatever? I do think if I got angry enough, I could probably take you out.
I think if I took your hero away from you, you'd probably get really angry.
Yeah, thanks, I guess Anthony. So, right. Yeah, mid-lunch, that would be a big problem. Yeah, that would definitely be a big
issue.
You
would have no shot under any circumstances.
What, beating up Boomer?
No shot.
I would agree. I mean, he's injured half the staff over the years here.
No, I know, but no.
Accidentally. Yeah. Okay. Not on purpose.
But like,
it's been an accident.
But strategy wise, like if you're just talking like straight brute strength, right, I don't have a shot. But strategy wise, I think I could get him.
Well, you could lure him into a trap.
I think I'm a little more cunning than he is.
I would grant you that.
You know, like you just sneak attack on the knee, boom, ow, you know, he's down, and then whap, side of the head. You know, I think I could do it.
Yeah, okay. And that's right.
Well, I would just always say this. Just make sure you get a good shot in and hope that it takes. Because if it doesn't take,
you better be sure.
And even at this weight, I think I could outrun him. Definitely. I mean, I'm much younger.
I don't know about that.
I'm much younger. You guys are underestimating me. You let me stretch a little bit. I could.
Well,
I'm telling you, he's 57. I'm 22
no,
years
not
younger.
I'm 57 yet.
56, all right? I'm 21 years younger.
No, I actually thought I was 57 there for about 3 or 4 months.
You
were
the one you told me.
Then I realized that, wait a minute, I'm only 56.
Because your own age?
I gained a year.
Come on.
I actually did. I got lost into like, you know, how the hell I forgot how old I was.
Too many jobs.
I don't know what it was. I was playing golf with a guy this weekend. And he goes, so when were you born? I was 1961. He goes, you're the same age as me, 56. And I'm like, what? Because my birthday is not until April, and then of course, you know, his birthday was in September. He goes, I said, guess what? You just gave me a year back.
What a
life.
Refreshing weekend it was!
Yeah,
for
right.
You.
It was.
Play some golf, get younger.
Yes. I don't know why I thought I was 57. You said it. I must have said
you,
it.
You did say it, and that's why I brought it up. Yeah. All right, CeeLo.
In Pyeongchang, U.S. men's hockey team handled Slovakia in the qualification round 5-1, so they'll face the Czech Republic in the quarterfinals. That's at 10:10 Eastern tonight if you want to tune in. Rangers and Devils were idle. Islanders played a President's Day matinee at Barclays Center, gave up 3 consecutive goals in the second period, eventually lost to the Wild 5-3. You get the Devils in Columbus tonight at Prudential Center on One Jersey Network at 6:50. There you go.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
One thing I read this morning, Brian Costello said that the Jets, because they could have potentially $92 million in cap space this year, that they could give Kurt freaking Cousins $60 million guaranteed in year one.
You like that? Like that?
1 year, $60 million guaranteed.
That's what it takes.
And then, that would be the most astronomical salary in the history of pro sports. But the reason they would do this was because they've got all this cap space. They still have $30 million or so to spend in 2018 in the offseason. And then because of front-loading the contract, it would give them flexibility in the years after that. But so it makes a little bit of sense when you think about it.
I'm going to say this. My man Phil Simms makes a very salient point about all of this. He goes, you know, as much as we may, you know, scoff at the money and can't, you know, believe that this amount of money is being paid, you know, this is the business that they're in. This is the salary cap. This is the revenues that are going up and being driven up by Roger Goodell, the commissioner, and the people that work for him. They're the ones that are doing all these TV contracts. They're the ones that somehow snookered Fox to pay $60 million a year
in
a game for Thursday Night Football over the next 5 years. So the players, there are players that are benefiting from it for sure, and Kirk Cousins is going to be one of them. So what Phil basically said, he goes, Garoppolo has basically gotten $28.8 million per, $90 million in the first 3 years, and he's basically played like seven games. Kirk Cousins has put 2 years of film together on the field, competing, busting his ass. Everybody in the NFL knows that he's betting on himself, and everybody in the NFL appreciates that. And that's why when you think about he's at the right place at the right time right now to be a free agent quarterback and have teams like the Jets, Denver, Cleveland, Jacksonville, and maybe even Minnesota. I don't necessarily know about Arizona because I don't know if they'll have the cap space to afford a number like this or the mindset to even think that they could pull something like this off. But these other teams, I do believe that they will all are going to drive this up and his agent's going to be smart, and his agent's going to try to get as much guaranteed money up front. And it may take the Jets, literally may take them, to have to write one of these crazy contracts in order for him to even consider them to come here.
Well, I think that's what's happening, yeah.
So if let me just give you three teams.
Okay.
And I'm not going to put Buffalo, and I'm not putting Cleveland in this mix.
All right.
I'm putting in Minnesota. I'm putting in Jacksonville. And I'm putting, let's say, Denver. So let's say those are the three teams that the Jets have got to go against. Those three teams, do you think out of those three teams, who is the best team right now for Kirk Cousins?
The Minnesota Vikings were in the NFC Championship game. The Jacksonville Jaguars were in the AFC Championship game. I'd probably say, well, it depends what the Jaguars do with their receivers. They got two receivers in free agency, Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson.
They'll let one of them go.
All right.
Likely.
Because the Vikings have Diggs and Thielen under contract, and they play indoors for eight games,
right.
I would probably say, even though Aaron Rodgers is in that division and Matt Stafford's in that division, I would say the roster around them, I would probably say the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, all right, so let's say the Minnesota Vikings, just for whatever. You don't want to talk about Leonard Fournette and what's going on down in Jacksonville. And the top two defense. What are the Jets going to have to pay Kirk Cousins to not go and win right now? Because it doesn't look like the Jets have the ability to do that because they're still in the midst of this rebuilding project. What is it going to take Kirk Cousins?
$60 million guaranteed in year one.
To convince him to come and play.
Well, that's probably what it would be. I mean, the thing I just told you, that scenario would be it. $60 million in year one.
That's why I said what I said yesterday and in talking to people last week about this whole thing. And when free agency open, it's going to be a freaking... It's going to be a mob scene trying to get to him. Now, the interesting thing also is that, you know, would he be willing to sign a contract for less years but more money because he knows in 3 years from now what is $30 million this year is going to be $45 million in 3 years from now?
I'm sure that he'd be thinking like that. LeBron James has been doing that in the NBA where he'll sign a year deal, 2 year deal, because he knows the cap structure and how it's going to go up. And he's, of course, going to be he's going to max out every time. So if he thinks if Kirk Cousins and his agent thinks that that's what's going to happen with the NFL salary cap, why not? He has played the system.
Will a team do what I think is stupid and only give him 3 years?
Well, it depends how serious the amount of bidders are. So if you have like three bidders that are super serious and you're going back and forth and you're putting your eggs in the Kirk Cousins basket and you don't get them, you're in a whole world of hurt. If you have a couple of teams that feel that way, then he will get whatever he wants. But if there's really only modest interest where, hey, we want you at this price for this many years, this much guaranteed money because we need to fill out the rest of our roster, then he's not going to get that. He's going to have to settle a little
bit. But just remember this, you know, in the eyes of the fans, they want to look at Washington's record over the last 2 years. Okay, I'm just telling you, from the foot, the inside football knowledge or understanding of the way the league works and who you're paying money to, they're going to want to pay money to high character guys that they know are not going to be affected by that money when they're playing the most important position in the league.
Yeah, I understand.
And this guy will not be affected by that because he hasn't shown to be over the previous 2 years, and he's willing to throw himself on a sword for the team. So I think that's one of the reasons why he is as popular as he is. He's a bright kid. He's a high-character guy. He's a competitive SOB. Does he have everything that you love? No. But what? And also remember, he is now coming into his prime. This is his prime. These next 5 years are going to be his prime time to be the guy, to be that guy that throws for 4,500 yards and 35 touchdowns. That's what he's going
to
be.
Yeah, I'd rather roll the dice in the draft because we've talked about this before. There's a lot of teams you can go back to and point to the fact that before they paid their quarterback, they won Super Bowls because they weren't cap-strung with those massive contracts. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, Joe Flacco and the Ravens. I mean, these are...
Who's going to go down that road this year? Who's going to go down that road this year is going to be the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees. Because he's going to sign a contract before free agency, and he's going to want $30 million a year. He's going to want $30 million a year. And the thing about him is because of his age, you can't spread that out over 7 years.
Right, of course not. You got to jam it in.
You got to jam it in, and you got to be able to afford $90 million for one player over 3 years with him.
Yeah.
And then if he gets that, what is Brady getting up in New England?
Well, Tom Brady, though, has shown a history of taking fewer dollars to be able to help out the roster. So, and then that fake story was out there. You were actually out that day with a fake story in the Boston Herald about how Brady wanted to get paid. And in looking at that, you can just go to tell, like, how is he going to change his mind now?
At the end of the day, he needs to get paid. Now, would he, this is interesting. Bob Kraft has about 90 different companies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that they may be compensating him away from the field with investments and all these other companies?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I would be surprised if it weren't that way.
Yeah. Is that illegal, by the way, if they found that out?
Supposed to be.
Oh, man. That would be the next Patriots saga, huh?
Yeah, no, but then again, if you have a money manager, which I'm sure he does, and that money manager is looking for places to invest that money and everything – What would have stopped that money manager from investing in some great company that Bob Kraft has somewhere that is actually giving you a return every year? I would think that would be a way to fairly compensate Brady for what he's done for Kraft.
He also has a wife that makes a gazillion dollars, and he's got his own business now. I don't know how much money he's making off of TB12, but...
But here's the deal. So he comes out with TB12. He does the whole documentary, right? Tom versus Time and all that other stuff. He's basically telling you how great he is.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that he is not going to be compensated for how great he is on the field?
Well, he's right. But
and would you tell me when he's sitting back and he's watching Jimmy Garoppolo make, $30 million a year, the guy that was backing him up for the last 3 years? You're going to tell me that that guy doesn't want to get compensated?
Well, he hasn't. I mean, actions speak louder than words. His entire career has been he hasn't taken every last dime.
And remember, the other thing in professional sports, a lot of these guys, and I would be one of them if I were playing, and I was very proud to be one of them when I was playing. You want to be the highest paid guy because that tells everybody that you are the best player in the league. I don't, and the fact that Tom Brady is not that – How could you not have him as the highest paid player in the league?
Oh, well, because these...
Now, on the books, he's not.
Right.
But somewhere else he may be.
He might be. Let's go to Joe in Staten Island on the Fan. What's up, Joe? Good morning.
Oh, my God. I do not want Kirk Cousins like I don't want the flu. I mean, this guy, is he a great quarterback? No, probably not. Is he very good? Yeah, he'd be great in Minnesota. Let him go to Minnesota. If this team gives Kirk Cousins $60 million, all that will get them is to 8-8. And all 8-8 gets you is out of the good draft spots. This is a damn joke. If we had a quarterback in the last decade, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We wouldn't even consider Kirk Cousins for the money they want for him. Draft a damn quarterback. Do it the right way and stop. They have to stop this insanity. It cannot be $60 million for Kirk Cousins. That's nuts. You can't do it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. Right. I echo a lot of that.
I hope Kirk Cousins heard that.
Well, why is that?
Because that's what playing here is that's what you're going to hear.
Right. But I'm sure there's other fan bases that feel the same way.
You like
on that,
that
list.
No, like that?
Yeah, okay. But there are other guys out there that want Kirk Cousins. They're saying, like, you know, he's a legitimate quarterback in his prime. Give him to me right now, and he's going to help us win. So this is the fan. Now, you have a – look, we know the Jet fan base is crazy.
Yeah.
All right? This is what you're going to get here. You're going to get both sides of it. And – you know, I think if he goes to Minnesota or if he goes to Denver,
I would be
disgusted
if they gave him that type of money. Absolutely disgusted if the Minnesota Vikings gave Kirk Cousins that type of cash. Seriously. With three other guys in that roster, I know the two of them have major injury concerns, but three guys who have been there, one guy has been rehabbing to come back, another guy who took it to the NFC Championship game, and you're going to bring in this guy for $150 million? Get the hell out of here.
Dude, that's just the price of doing business right now. That's what the going rate for a free agent quarterback is, and you know he should get as much as he can, and you shouldn't be disappointed by it. I mean, the one thing I would say, if the Jets do go down this road, if I'm the Jet fan, I'm like, okay, they got the best available guy out there, and they're willing to spend the money to go get him.
I would have to see them fill out the rest of the roster with that $30 million and that they would still have left over if they gave him the $60 million in year one.
So what would that whole thing would be tied to? If you want to know whether or not the Johnson brothers are going to spend the money, would be determined by how this contract is structured. And if the contract is structured such that they could spend more money in free agency, then that's how you determine that your owner is actually all in, that he is spending money to make a difference, that he's going out there to try to find as many good players as he possibly can, and he's not worried about spending the long-term contract money, which it sounds like the Jets are going to do, because, you know, you can't have the 3 years that they just had.
No.
You know, the Jet fan base is very impatient, and I know this because there are a lot of Met fans that are part of the whole Jet fan base, like I am, and I'm impatient. So,
but if they drafted a quarterback at the top of the draft and in the top six picks, I do think that that's a different type of patience, because you have some hope there.
Well,
and right now they don't have much hope. That's why they wanted to see Hackenberg so much, because they thought that there was some hope there. Clearly there has not been, but that's why they wanted to see that. It's different when you got something exciting in the wings, as opposed to, you know, bringing in a guy like Kirk Cousins and paying him $60 million to go 6-10.
Well, you know, that the other thing that last Jet fan has going for him is that there will be other teams that are going to be in the mix here,
mm-hmm.
who may do something, you know, even more egregious than what he believes the Jets are trying to do right now. And if that's the case, then there's a plan B. And what is it?
The draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, and to
trade
up.
Knowing that, and here's the thing, knowing that you're not going to win again. There's another season of losing. And you got to think, okay, we're going to go down that road again. Does Todd Bowles deserve to be here?
That's going to be the same conversation. You're right. But you got the young quarterback that you're developing. You see something from that guy that changes everything.
It's fascinating.
It really is. And then when that draft comes and you got the Giants too and what they're going to do at number two, we got a lot to look forward to.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
DirecTV is going to raise the prices on the Sunday ticket again, which is just the worst news for sports fans. It's impossible. It's so expensive. They got you by the guy owns. You've got no choice. The Sunday ticket on DirecTV. You got no choice but to get it. I've got no choice but to get it because I root for an out-of-state team, so I want to watch them.
What's it going up to now?
I mean, it was something like $350 this past season. I don't even know what the hell it's going to be after this.
Well, at the end of the day, guess who's paying? The consumer. That's why these numbers are off the charts. That's why Fox spent $60 million a Thursday night game per game.
Yeah, I know.
For 5 years. Why? Because they want eyeballs. And, you know, they think that this is going to give them some sort of jump in their primetime ratings.
Yeah, I think if you call up and threaten to cancel, you can get it for free. It's the only thing that works. You call up, hey, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to cancel my old service. And they'll go, oh, we'll give you the Sunday ticket for free. But I can't do that because I can't lie.
Can't even write it off anymore.
No, you can't. That's another thing.
So you used
That's
to be right. able to do that.
I know.
But now,
I never
this,
did
this,
that,
this
though.
New tax law, and as rich as you are, you're getting screwed.
Yeah, right, okay. Sure. I mean, seriously. But I never did any of that
screwed,
stuff.
I'm telling you.
Well, from what I hear, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get screwed. So I'm just
going, maybe going to. I think right now I think I'm going to be okay. We went through the numbers once.
Yeah,
you walked me through the whole thing. And you said, I think you're going to be okay because this number's going to cover that number and this boom here, you're going to be fine.
I don't know about that.
You put the kid
the
in there.
I
got to do that, but I got to go to like HR and put the kid thing. Did you do that?
Yeah, put the kid in.
Put the kid in.
I don't have to do that around here.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Well, I'm sure there's life insurance attached to it. You got to make sure you have your beneficiaries listed and everything else.
Yeah, I got to do all that stuff. 529, get in there.
Start thinking about this stuff.
I am.
Growing up now. Let's go. You got responsibilities.
I am growing up.
Come on, the kid's what, a week and a half old now? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, 10 days today, actually.
So I nailed it.
What's going on there, CeeLo?
Brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit report, free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Newcomer Giancarlo Stanton embracing the theater of he and Aaron Judge, simply taking batting practice together yesterday in Tampa.
The moment we touched the dirt, they're buzzing and ready for us to get in the cage and hit. So that was really cool. Nothing like I experienced in spring.
Stanton totaled four homers during four rounds in the cage. Analysis from his new skipper, Aaron Boone.
There's no one really like him in the way he kind of hits the baseball, you know.
Judge hits it pretty hard and pretty far as well. Didn't allow himself to get all wrapped up in the spectacle for the fans.
I just focus on doing my job. You know, my job is to barrel up the baseball as many times as I can. You know, so I got to stick to my routine. Doesn't matter if there's zero people in the stands or if it's packed.
Well, there you go. He hit two. Gary Sanchez hit three. Hopefully we all move on now, and it's batting practice. You know?
You know, I know we always talk about the combined home runs for the New York Yankees.
Yes, we've discussed that before.
Can we talk about the combined strikeouts for the Yankees? How many you think they'll have for that?
Between who? The two of them?
Well, the three of them.
Sanchez in there as well?
Yeah, because Sanchez is a home run hitter too, Chris.
Yes, I'm aware.
And who knows how many. Like I told you, man, my guy down in the DR told me that Stanton's going to hit 65 home runs this year. He is so jacked up.
Your guy down in the DR.
Yeah, who looks like Robinson Cano.
He looks like Robinson Cano. Okay. His name's Miguel.
What's his?
He was a caddy. He was a caddy that I was with the last 4 days.
What does he know about Stanton?
He loves the Yankees.
Oh, okay.
He watches every Yankee game. He played baseball when he was a kid. The DR baseball is the national sport. They love it. So I figured I'd talk to a real, foreign-born Yankee fan who absolutely loves the Yankees and knows baseball inside and out more than I probably
But he doesn't have any inside info on Stanton.
No, he just said, the lineup is going to allow Stanton to hit 65 home runs.
Okay. Did you beat the positivity out of that guy, too, or no?
He was awesome. We won. I told you I won the little tournament I was in.
Of course you did.
All right, let's see.
How was the pace of play in that tournament?
It was good. There was one guy that's a little slow, but we got on his ass, and we cleaned that up.
Nice job.
We straightened that
Between
out.
Between the three of them, I would say over under 400
strikeouts.
163 strikeouts for Stanton last year.
Okay.
Now you gotta.
So the over under is going to be. I'm going to be bad with 400 probably then, because I would imagine Judge had at least that, if not more.
Aaron Judge, if this thing wants to cooperate quickly, had 208.
Yeah. Okay, so forget 400. You got to go well north of that.
Yeah.
And probably what it comes down to.
Now, Sanchez doesn't play as many games as he's a catcher. Plus, he missed a month last year.
Somebody will be tracking when these home runs are hit, too. Right? So if they're up 8-2 and somebody hits a grand slam, and they win 12-2, who cares?
120 for Sanchez.
Okay. So maybe 500 for the over-under.
Yeah.
Assuming health.
And I'm watching yesterday that, they got off. They're kind of in a slump right now. So they're starting the season in a slump.
They were in a slump. It was report day for position players. They're in a slump already. Anyway, here was
Everybody was expecting 100 home runs yesterday.
Yeah, well, 100.
How many did they hit?
Between the three of them?
Yes.
Nine?
Okay. Yeah. I guess,
4, 3, and 2. It's good math. 9.
You don't want to start fast. That's the whole thing. You got to ease into it.
Got to peak at the right time.
They did exactly what they wanted to do.
There you go.
Yep. Throw them off the scent. That's what it was. You had a whole bunch of home runs in the beginning. Everybody gets all jacked up. You touch the money, and then all of a sudden you suck. You're only winning 70 games.
You know who wasn't impressed? Sweeney Murdy.
Oh, really?
He did some video where he was out in the outfield. He had some big glove on his hand. I guess he was thinking he was going to out there, catch all these home run balls. I've never seen a glove this big before. I don't know what the deal was there.
Sweeney.
You're going to be out there. You're a professional broadcaster.
Sweeney's been doing the same thing for, 15, 20 years now? Let him have a little fun.
Yeah.
Let him filing raps into the newsroom and meeting new tape ops every time he calls.
Hell, he's got to file raps in the newsroom.
No, I know. Just have him have a little fun for once. crying out loud.
Well, I think he was looking to have fun, and they disappointed. Work out. They only hit 9 home runs. He didn't get to have a lot of fun. So,
all right.
Screwed him. There you go. Here was Didi Gregorius asked about the excitement level this spring as compared to last.
Probably the same level. I mean, you just got to stay composed, just be yourself, and just try to relax and play the game.
He speaks very fast. It's impressive. Just gets it all right in us.
Stay composure.
There you go. Trying to block out the outside noise, says Didi.
There's people that say it probably were good, and people that say the team got too good, they're not going to play good. But, you know, just got there and play the game.
Play the game. There you go.
See, thank God there's an adult in a room.
That's the only one? Didi's the only one. What about Judge? Last hour you said Judge had the right mentality. Now Didi's the only adult in the room.
He sounded good. He said all the right things.
Well, he is on this team. He is an adult. You know, he's north of 25.
So yeah, right. He said the old man in the room.
Yeah, there you go. The biggest competition in the AL East got better yesterday, at least on paper. The Red Sox finally landing J.D. Martinez. Gets a front-loaded 5-year, $110 million deal. It includes opt-out clauses after years 2 and 3. With the Mets, you've got Yoenis Cespedes and Port St. Lucie feeling more flexible this spring thanks to an offseason full of yoga. He feels good, hoping to put his quad and hamstring issues of 2017 behind him and return to dominant form.
I want to be an MVP. That hasn't changed. Last season, I wasn't lucky because I got hurt, but this is my main goal, to become an MVP.
Now, do you hate that or love that? Because you talk about how the Yankees are too overconfident. This guy with an individual goal, he wants to be the National League MVP.
But no, I like that because he knows himself that he was a major failure last year and he didn't live up to his contract. So basically what he's telling you is, I've worked very hard this offseason, tried a different trading regimen to keep myself healthy. And if I'm healthy, I'm going to be able to put up numbers to support this team and win the MVP.
He's Yoenis. He's on fire, my desire.
Okay with that.
All right, fine. I mean, it's an individual thing, but, you know, I don't love that. I want to win the World Series.
Look, I'm all
about the team as well.
Right, I'm all about team stuff, but I also know that, you know, especially in baseball, you have to take care of your own business first. I mean, it's a very individualistic sport in that regard because you're up at the bat, you're by yourself, everybody can see you. It's nice when you have other guys on the team around you in the batting order that will take some of the pressure off of you, which I think is one of the reasons why everybody's got such high hopes for the Yankees, because each of those guys in that lineup, think about that. Think about that group of guys that you got to go through, and you can't sit there. Somebody's going to benefit from it, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, without a doubt.
See what he just synopsized right there?
Another synopsization.
I mean, did you like it or no?
Yeah, it was great. Loved it. That's why I said synopsized.
You got to hope that Jay Bruce and Adrian Gonzalez is going to be able to protect him a little bit in the lineup.
Todd Frazier,
yeah.
Depending on where he hits, not if he hits leadoff.
The Mets need a magical year out of somebody that nobody expects is going to happen. That's
like
what they
Juan
really
need. Juan Lagares or somebody.
How about
I think
this
Rosario.
Guy
I
talk
saw
to
Wilma
him.
Flores. They got him talk playing about. In the outfield a little bit. They got him all over the infield and everything else. I don't know. Who knows?
It's going to be Rosario.
All right.
Watch.
Well, here we are in Flores because Mickey Callaway recognizes he's got a good bat. Doesn't really have a spot in the lineup, so he doesn't have an everyday position. Looking for him to learn to play the outfield as well.
I've talked to him, and he's open to take some fly balls and be available in the outfield just to allow him to get as many at-bats as possible.
If it were only that simple, right? He's just going to go out there, take some fly balls, and then, you know, we'll just run him out there.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you want to manage in the National League. It's a little bit different than managing the American League. You know, we don't have a DH where they could put a fat guy at bat and say, here's your at-bats and keep you happy.
I don't think every DH is fat.
Yeah, actually, you know, that's why when you're managing the National League, it's different.
Well, of course, it's more difficult. There's more strategy, no doubt.
When the Yankees come north, you head over there, say hi to Giancarlo Stanton. Say, how's it feel to be a fat guy DHing in the American League? See what
he thinks. Lazy bastard.
Well, you know what I mean. It's he's not a fat guy.
Well, but he's also not all fat guys.
He's also going to want to play the field,
of course,
too.
But he's going to DH a lot.
And that's also part of, you know, what Aaron Boone's going to have to figure out.
Yeah. Well, J.D. Martinez, same thing with the Red Sox. They want to put him at DH, but he's a guy who desperately wants to be out there in the field. He thinks he's better out in the field. But you got to figure that out. Also not a fat guy.
You would like to think that guys like J.D. Martinez and Stanton, you know, are young enough and recognize that they're great baseball players, not just in the batter's box, but out in the field. And that makes them whole as a baseball player. Who wants to sit there and do nothing and then just put a bat in their hand?
It's
Edgar Martinez.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Prince Fielder.
Prince Fielder, yes.
I think most guys like the fact that they're into the game, but I'm sure there's some that like that. Like, all I got to do is sit here. I got to focus on hitting. I'll go down to the cage.
Big Poppy.
Yeah, well, he's sure. Yeah, definitely. He's.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying, like, I make fun and I'm sarcastic about it because I like National League baseball better than I do American League baseball. But it creates a problem for Mickey Callaway. He's been in the American League now for what, 5 years?
I'm sure he's sharp enough to adjust.
I would like to think so, and that's why his pitching acumen should really work better in the National League because he should understand how to manipulate the pitching staff a little bit better because of his background. I hope that's the case.
Here was Flores, who says, bring it on.
I've been bouncing everywhere to be out there and play, so if this is what it's going to take, I'll do it.
And he couldn't remember the last time he actually played outfield. He's never done it as a professional, minor leagues included.
Well, I hope it doesn't look like Daniel Murphy in the outfield. Holy God.
That would be unfortunate. Major League Baseball and Commissioner Rob Manfred announcing a series of pace of play rule changes. You'll have a limit on mound visits, only 6 per game, including managers, coaches, and players. New Mets pitching coach Dave Island already sees a potential problem, those center field cameras honing in on signs from the catcher.
All you have to have is one guy sitting in a video room to get the sequences down, and they have them. I mean, I know multiple teams that do it for a fact.
Well, there you go. So now he's worried about stealing signs. That was Island on MLB Network Radio, so we'll have that to look forward to. Another reason why G is very much against these mound visit limitations.
Yeah, I don't love it. I'm telling you, man. You're going to have more nonverbal communication that opens up the sign stealing. I'm telling you, there's baseball guys out there that hate it. It's not just me.
Okay, fair enough. In Pyeongchang, U.S. men's hockey team beat Slovakia in the qualification round 5-1, so they've got quarterfinal matchup with the Czech Republic. That'll be played 10:10 Eastern tonight. Americans Maya and Alex Shibutani won the bronze medal in ice dancing.
Is that a little weird to you? The ice dancing thing?
Well, like, they're brother and sister?
Yeah, brother and sister, and it's like a romantic deal. It's a little incestuous for me. I got to be honest with you.
Maybe we get Chernoff's thoughts on that if he stays up late enough to watch
it seems because the ice dancing, it's romantic, the dancing, and it's ballroom stuff, and you got the brother and sister.
A little weird.
It is. It's not just me.
Like, no. Kiss her gently first.
I mean, I just, there's
I can
just
understand that.
It was bizarre. When I still had the same last name, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing that a married couple.
Well, that happens often.
Right, married couple. That is great. And then I found a brother and sister. I'm like, okay.
What, was the brother and sister the couple that got in trouble for it being too sexual, or was that the husband-wife, or is that?
Oh, I hope it wasn't the brother. I didn't hear that one. The two ice dancing stories that piqued my attention was the boob that fell out and the brother and sister. Those are the two things that.
That's nice.
No, that's serious.
It really captures the Olympic spirit.
It cost them.
Boob slippage and incest. That's nice.
Well, I mean, those are the two things that. Ice dancing? You want to tell? I was watching the bobsled last night. I thought that was okay.
Yeah.
I got into that a little bit. And it was the Latvian team. I was rooting for them. They were jacked, by the way. Not soft. People out of Latvia, not soft. Big, muscular men.
Well, really, did they pass their doping test?
No, they did. They were humongous, these
guys. How about
the
fact that the Russian had the Olympic athletes from Russia.
Yes.
Had a doping failure when it came to curling.
Curling, I know.
Bronze medalist.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I was all up into the curling yesterday. USA beat Canada.
Mm.
Good.
And then the guy after the game, the skip.
They call it a game or is it a match?
A match. Or the guy after the match, right. The skip was crying.
He was crying.
It was all emotional.
Tears of joy.
They're still in the round robin here, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But it was just such a big win for them.
Because they beat Canada in round robin curling?
Smacked them down. Well, if you beat them on ice, that's a good thing.
Well, that's a big deal, right? Is it Canada and curling?
But it's the round robin.
Curling in Canada is like bowling is here. Let's go curling.
You ever curled?
No, I've never curled. There's a Long Island Curling Association, believe
it
or not.
Should hit that up.
Nah, it doesn't excite me.
Okay, then.
But the way they get involved and scream and yell, it's amazing.
If we had a curling team, Boomer would be the one that just rolls the thing down and then yells at us to to scrape
to
properly.
Basically, like in all his properties.
Is that the
What? I smell another ass-looking face coming.
Could you imagine Eddie sweeping? He'd fall over. That's a big thing. When you fall over, the fans go crazy.
Yeah, we'd all have to have juice on us to revive it.
Jeez.
Yeah, most of the curlers are like from the Midwest, you know, like North Dakota and stuff like that.
Minnesota. A lot of ice out there in North Dakota.
North, I guess. I don't know what the hell.
Keep going. Right.
You got the women's short program in figure skating tonight if you're into that. Rangers and Devils had Monday off. The Islanders played a President's Day matinee at Barclays Center. Give up 3 consecutive goals in the second period. Lost to the Wild 5-3.
Here's the thing about them now. They go on an 8-game road trip, I think.
Yeah.
and the trading deadline's next Monday. Mm. And I'm telling you right now, I mean, if they
They're tied with the Wild for the second wild card spot in terms of points right now in the
Not
East.
Not the Wild. The Wild is in the West.
What did I say? The Wild?
Yeah.
They played the Wild. Yes. They're tied with the Hurricanes. That's right. What I meant. Thanks.
I you know, can they win a championship if they get in as the A seed?
No.
Are they going to add? Depends on if they're going to add. My point being, when I'm the whole thing, don't you think like Tavares should tell them, look, I'm going to sign with you?
What if he doesn't know? I mean, honestly, you might not know.
At this point, how does he not know?
I think we've been
talking about this for how many years?
And don't you think, though, that they've had what I would consider a very good partnership together and that he has been the backbone of the franchise and that someday they'll put his number in the rafters? Now, I don't know if necessarily know that he'll ever win a Stanley Cup with this team. Unless they play the Rangers 82 games out of the season, maybe they would have a chance. But at the end of the day, don't you have to know whether or not he is considering legitimately signing with
sure.
you?
Sure.
I would hope they would.
If you don't, if you don't and he goes into free agency and you get nothing for him.
That would be horrible.
To me, you know, and I know other teams have gone down this road, like Cleveland went down that road with LeBron, and how do you trade LeBron? But, you know, LeBron legitimately had a chance at a championship. That's not the case right now with Tavares. And I know that Garth Snows came out and said, look, we're not going to trade him. I get that. He has to tell the fans that. He
better
has to
resign him then.
Then you better resign him, because if you don't resign him and you get nothing for him, that would be, to me, that is like malfeasance for the organization. That's all.
Another problem is you lose all your leverage, too, because if you put him up on the block, you start to trade him, then you know that that discussion has happened, that he's not going to resign. So then you're saying, oh, I mean, you're not going to get him. So, I mean, if you don't trade him, you're going to lose him for nothing. So you're not going to get a lot back for him in that situation either.
It's a hard thing. You know, the Rangers are talking about trading a lot of guys at the end of their contracts. Then there's also possibly Zuccarello and McDonough, who each have a year left on their contracts. Guys that you love. Guys that you love seeing in a Ranger uniform, that you appreciate all the effort that they've given you. But there's also a recognition, and it's the problem that the Giants have with Eli Manning. And we have with Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, Henrik's got 4 years left in his contract. He's got a no-trade clause, and they're not going to trade him. I'm not saying they should, but I'm just saying that that's the problem. You fall in love with these guys for what they did for you, and they no longer can do what they did for you.
Did you hear him over the weekend, by the way?
Oh, he's exhausted.
Right, but he went out of his way to say, look, I'm going to stick through the rebuild. I want to be here. You know, I love it here.
Because he doesn't want to go anywhere.
I understand that. But what he's going to go through these next couple of months, because these games soon are not going to matter, and he's never experienced that before.
Well,
and he already sounds miserable.
I would tell you the last 2.5 weeks, he has not been great.
No.
That's not all his fault. I get it. Because he's all over the place. He's sliding
goals,
all over the place. I never seen a goalie drop his stick as much.
Yeah.
He's had to lose his stick like 50 times already this year.
It's not a good scene.
Okay, Al, thanks. 7:47.
I'm not Al.
No, Al's in my ear saying,
oh, okay. Got it.
So, CeeLo, good job. A little hockey talk there for you.
It was awesome, man. I'll remember this.
I don't know, man. It's like, you would think that you'd have a conversation with Tavares and his agent and say, what's going on?
Or maybe they did, and they said, I don't know. We got to go through this process. I got to meet with this team. I don't know. I haven't been able to do that. I want to go through the whole deal. And then, I mean,
let's go to the break.
I mean, and you've said it before. He doesn't owe them anything.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Yesterday we played you a bunch of that garbage national anthem from Fergie. Her rendition was just disgusting. How her approach to it, and it's just out of tune, just really bad. And I know it's a difficult thing to do, but if you're a professional singer and you get asked to do that at the NBA All-Star game,
loaded,
you just have to do a better job. So I don't feel bad criticizing
her. It was horrendous.
I mean, it was one of the worst renditions I've ever heard, and it's not hyperbole. It just was horrendous. So she issued an apology. She said, I've always been honored and proud to perform the national anthem, and last night I wanted to try something special for the NBA. I'm a risk taker artistically, but clearly this rendition didn't strike the intended tone.
You know what? Don't take a risk with the national anthem. That's
right.
All. It's pretty simple. Do it right. You know, you can do a few voice inflections, of course, the way you may end the song or whatever, or you may hit a high note like Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
That's fine, because, you know, people recognize when you do it that way, they recognize the passion that you're singing with, that you
right.
love the country and that you love the national anthem and everything else, and people really do appreciate that. But when you start going in different ways, in different directions, you better hope that it sounds like you're passionate about it as opposed to like some dopey, loopy, freak show of a singer
right.
that is screwing it up.
Yeah, and she went on to say, I love this country, and I honestly tried my best.
Well,
end quote.
You know what? She didn't try her best. She tried to do something that, you know, she shouldn't have gone down that road.
But that's she wanted to be sexy with it. She wanted to do a sexy national anthem. She probably sat around with a... This is what happens when you get to a level of celebrity and you surround yourself with a bunch of people that are going to tell you everything you do is great.
Screw Phil Sims!
They probably told her, that's going to be great. No one's ever done a sexy national anthem. You should do a sexy national anthem. That'd be awesome. You dress up like a lounge singer. We'll get a little bit of a jazz guitar and a bass.
Let's
you
put
go
this
up
way.
There, and it was horrific.
The national anthem's not supposed to be sexy. It's supposed to be, passionate, and it's supposed to be sung with emotion, the right tense. And it's supposed to be sung clearly with the words that everybody can hear and understand and sing along with. Not some cockamamie version that she made up in front of a mirror in front of her bathroom.
I know.
I'm sorry. She's
a
great singer. She's a great entertainer. But I'm sorry. She screwed this one up royally.
And this is one of the things I think sticks with her, too. I know that the news cycle moves around. We won't be talking about
that. It's going to stick with her.
But this is going to stick with her for a long time. People are going to associate her with that horrendous national anthem. It's like the first pitch at a game.
Remember when Roseanne Barr sung the national anthem?
I still remember that.
All right. So she was trying to do a karaoke style, you know, because she can't sing.
She thought it would be funny.
And everybody thought it would be funny, but it was just insulting.
Right. I know. That was even probably more insulting, one of the few that was more insulting than this Fergie one, because she did it with such a lack of caring. It was just disrespect, like, bam, I'm just going to sing and whine through it because she was trying to do a comedy act. This was just, I mean, this missed the mark just horribly.
Don't screw with the nation. Don't screw with the flag. You know, have difference of opinions politically, fine, and all that other stuff, but we're all still under one flag.
Yeah, it's amazing that you could screw that up so bad
it's
in the NBA All-Star
game. And I mean, I'm actually glad Twitter reacted the way it did.
Well, yeah, because it shows people that they care. I mean, I'm sure that what has that got to be like to wake up that day, that next day, if you're Fergie, and it's got to be awful. Like, I mean, it just... The entire country, it feels like.
You know, I was telling you, like, you know, Lindsey Vonn got trolled on Twitter, too, after her performance that didn't go so
like,
well.
Yeah, like, why? I don't understand.
You know, because I think, you know, there's a ton of anonymous people out there that just love to take shots at people. And, look, Lindsey Vonn is one of the most, if not the most successful skier we've ever had. Yeah. And probably the most well-known, best-looking, she, you know, flaunts that stuff and all that other stuff. And then when she fails, there are going to be a lot of people out there that are going to take shots at her. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, that I don't understand as much. I mean, because obviously she is trying her best, and she didn't have a great run. That wasn't even her.
The amount of injuries that she has sustained, amount of surgery she's
gone
through.
The fact that she came back after 8 years, pretty impressive that she's even out there.
I don't know if you've ever seen her, like, you know, watched her. She's insane.
With her workouts and everything,
yeah. She could kill herself with the way she actually skis.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Twitter trolls to take her on, like, they don't even realize what she puts into it and how much she has sacrificed. Now, I know, look, she's attractive. She's made millions of dollars. She dated Tiger Woods. All right, whatever.
J.J. Watt, too,
But who cares? At the end of the day, she's still an athlete trying to perform and win a gold medal for her country and for herself.
Yeah. That's a little different than Fergie.
And that is, I'm telling you, if you've ever skied downhill like that and you've ever watched, I remember I was at a ski event out in, I don't know, I think it was at Vail or Aspen. And it's Alberto Tomba from Italy, who is the world reigning gold medalist in the downhill, was out there practicing because they had an event out there. And watching him come down the slopes at that speed is frightening.
Yeah, right. You hit something, you're done. It's over. Yeah, right. So with that, when you're trolling Lindsey Vonn, you've got mental issues. When you're angry at Fergie, I think you're right on point. And Lindsey Vonn, I would hate to see that. You know, you think about her, how hard she worked. She comes back after 8 years. She goes out there, doesn't go well. Then she checks her Twitter. There's a bunch of knuckleheads that are ripping her. She's got to respond to
it. I'm not saying that she's without controversy. She is. But, again, what these Olympic athletes, some of these Olympic athletes go through, and the training and all the stuff that goes into what they do, it's just – it's really – it's amazing that they actually make it, because there's not a lot of funding for it.
No.
And there should be more, but some of these other countries put so much more into it. And I think,
like, Norway has got 8 million medals. It's unbelievable how many medals they have. These Norwegians are like, they're
no
just
kidding.
Sucking up every medal.
Well, listen, if it can't be America, it might as well be Norway.
It's an unreal, their medal count.
Let's go to Johnny in Port Chester. Johnny, what's happening?
How are we doing, guys?
What's all up, John? How old are you, Johnny?
First of all, I want to say that Roseanne made herself sound like Beyonce compared to Fergie.
Yeah, okay.
But my first issue is I heard the guy talking about shorting the game is for the younger generation, blah, 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 talking about cell phones. I'm from the younger generation. I would watch a baseball game if it was 12 hours. I think mainly they're trying to shorten the game so they could bring new fans in. I mean, I don't see why he would think it would be anything other than that.
Yeah, I know, but if you think about it, and I'm fine if they want to improve the pace of play, and that's great, but is that 5 or 10 minutes that you're going to shave off of a game going to be the difference from someone being a passionate baseball fan or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I personally don't care, and I don't think that a new fan who wants to watch baseball is going to care either and say, oh, it's only 10 minutes shorter. Let me start watching baseball now.
Right, exactly. And that's pretty much the issue that I have. The only way that you're going to make a humongous impact with baseball, if you start messing with the game to the point that the purists are going to puke, like you're going to limit the amount of innings, or you're not going to have extra innings, or you're going to do that crazy idea that we heard last year in extra innings, put a guy on second base to start. I mean, that's the only way that you're going to really dramatically change the game, and then it's really not worth it. So, I mean, the changes that they have made and that they're continuing to make is mostly to shave off probably an average of like 7 to 10 minutes, which is not going to be the difference. Like, someone's not going to say, man, you know, I'll watch that baseball game if it's 2 hours and 40 minutes. But if it's 2 hours and 50 minutes, there's absolutely no way I'm going to put that thing on. There's some things you can eliminate, but really, I think what it does, it makes it a little more palatable to the baseball fan that's already there. I don't think it draws in a whole new fan base because all of a sudden it's the most exciting game ever. It's baseball. It's going to remain baseball. It's always going to be baseball. Adam. Oceanside, next up on the Fan. What's up, Adam?
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple of these comments on this whole mound visit and these changes. Number one, it's, you know, they're not going to get the millennials by changing the game to the point where they shave the 5 or 10 minutes off. I have millennial kids. They don't watch the sport because to them, it's kind of a slow game. It's not a pace of play game, so it doesn't matter. You can't insert pace in a game that's not designed to have pace. The second comment is, you know, there's a lot of strategic discussions that happen when they go to these mound visits. So if you've had your fifth or sixth mound visit by the sixth inning and, you know, bottom of the ninth now, two guys on, 3-2, how are you supposed to have that discussion? You're supposed to just leave it and let things be what they would?
Yeah,
and the third comment I'd like to make is I think it might slow the game down even more because a pitcher now is going to be more deliberate. If he needs the breather that the mound visit sometimes gives him, he's going to take it on his own and just be real slow.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, how many times does a catcher visit a mound a game?
Well, I gave you the World Series one, which was probably extreme because they're very delicate. But in, like, the first 5 innings, there was 9 mound visits by the Astros, Game 7 of the World Series.
You know, I said that Lindsey Vonn was somewhat controversial, right? Sean Amendum knows why. Sean, what's happening?
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I agree with the Fergie situation. I think that's actually, you know, maybe a little less than Lindsey Vonn for people getting upset about, because Lindsey Vonn is, you know, before she even wins a medal, she's saying she's not going to go to the White House. But, you know, that's disrespecting all the people that voted for Donald Trump, and that's 50% of the country.
I know that's the controversy, and that's the politics part of it. I mean, you know, that's LeBron James goes through that too. You know, anytime they're going to attack the White House, they're going to get attacked by the Trump supporters. That's just the way it's going to be, and it's unfortunate that all these things have a political tinge to all.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that she said anything like that. I don't follow her on Twitter, so I mean, now I guess I
Stevie
understand.
Stevie and Smithtown, what's
why
happening?
People are crazy.
Hey guys, love the new show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
I think a lot of people are anti-Lindsey Vonn because we have a racism problem in this country, and she used to be the downhill darling until she dated Tiger Woods.
Really? You know, I don't know about that, Steve. I think it's more the political aspect and the realm that, you know, the athletes want to speak out. They're being asked to speak out, and as long as you speak out about what you're supposed to speak out about, I guess, then you're okay. But, you know, if you attack the president – I remember Tim Thomas did not want to go to the White House because Barack Obama was in the White House, and Tim Thomas was the goalie of the Boston Bruins. They had just won the Stanley Cup, and I was like, you know, you got to go to the White House, man. I don't care who's in the White House. It's the White House.
Right.
You go. It's about the institution. It's about not who's occupying the institution. It's about, you know, the whole, I guess what you would say would be the bigness of the situation. Go and be respectful. I mean, how many people get a chance to actually go to it?
Be
invited and be
to
there
celebrate
as a VIP.
It, right.
So I'm just saying that I would be as disappointed as I am for other guys that don't go under the current administration. I would be just as disappointed, or I was just as disappointed, with Tim Thomas not going under that administration.
Right. If anything, dating Tiger Woods and J.J. Watt elevated her profile to the point. I don't think people are upset with that. And by the way, if you look at the history, like when she was dating Tiger Woods, he got hurt again, and then she dated J.J. Watt, and then he got hurt. She breaks people, man. I'm telling you. She breaks me.
Maybe she broke her own self. Who knows? I think she's back on the on the slopes tonight, as a matter of fact.
In her, I think, main event. Like I said, I'm not positive, but I think it's like her best event is either tonight or tomorrow, maybe.
All right. Sounds good. We'll find out.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
And walking in right now, one of the greatest New Jersey Devils in their history. And they're going to honor him this Saturday against the Islanders at home as they retire the number 26 into the rafters. A two-time Stanley Cup champion. The franchise leader in goals, assists, and points. Patrick Elias is with us in studio. Patrick, good morning. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, great to see you, Patrick. Congratulations on the great honor, and I'm just glad you're doing it against the Islanders and not the Rangers, for God's sake. But you see what the shirt I'm wearing here, Patrick?
Yeah, I see.
You see what that is? You see this? We're bringing this tonight against your Czech Republic team.
But you forgot, because I became a citizen about a couple months ago.
Yeah,
so
I got
dual citizenship. Who do I cheer
not
for?
Rooting for
you can't be on
who
the
do
fence.
I cheer for?
Come on, you know
you're
rooting
for the Czech Republic.
Right. You won a bronze medal with them, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Right.
But I think one of those questions or one of those things was, when I become a citizen, I have to give up loyalty to other countries. So I don't know what I'm doing in this situation.
You're rooting for Martin.
Yeah,
you're
I am.
Your boys
I am.
Over there. I get it.
Yeah, that's exactly
but
what
you're
doing.
But you're going down tonight, man. That's all I'm telling you.
Will you be upset when they lose tonight, the Czech Republic?
I would be, because so far they've been having great tournaments.
Yeah, they've actually been good. They've been very good. So are you upset? Are you upset with the fact that the NHL players are not playing in this?
I'm disappointed. Yeah. As a fan, obviously now I would love to watch the best players compete against each other there, and we know how the Olympics are special, not just for its specific sport, but for the environment, for the what it represents, what it means. And I think some of these guys that don't have a chance to experience that, it's a shame. But
don't you understand the financial ramifications for the NHL teams, their owners, their buildings, and things of that nature, to shut it down for what? What does it take, like 15, 16 days to shut the whole thing down?
Yeah, a little bit longer than 2 weeks. So, like I said, I understand both sides. I understand also the fans that would love to watch.
Most
the best
players want
there.
To play, right? I mean,
yeah,
most
they
players
do.
They want to be there. It's an honor to represent their country. They don't get to do it that much.
Well,
I mean, this is a big hit for them.
Because I had an idea, and I don't know if this makes sense for you, but think back to when you were a junior player and you played in the Junior World Championships.
Yeah.
Those games are pretty intense, and they're fun. And those kids are, 18 years old, and they're playing their asses off. Watching it this year, I was thinking to myself, why don't they just do every 4 years, make the junior championships part of the Olympics? Because it's kind of they play it the same way. And you'd have the best young players that every country has to offer. They're essentially all, amateurs.
Yeah.
And they play a very high brand of hockey. That was an awesome tournament this year. So why not make that a part of the Olympics?
Yeah, maybe that's now, if this is going to be happening, that the professional players won't be going in. Maybe they'll think about a different round, and that might be one of them. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's something to me that the young guys that, are still representing their country, still playing a very high-level, fast hockey, which we all seem to love these days, I would think that would make a lot of sense. So, that's just kind of an idea that I have. But so when you started hockey and you ended up playing your entire career for the Devils, and you were a real pain in the neck, by the way. You always seem to come up with the big goals and everything else. Could you have ever imagined that someday that they were going to raise your number in your jersey into the rafters of where you played all your entire career?
Not at all. I said that before. When I was growing up, I had no knowledge about NHL. We had two channels watching on TV. There was no internet. There was no phone. So the first time I knew there's a different league. It was about when I was 16 years old when I traveled the junior national team to Edmonton. And we went to watch the Oilers play. And from that point on, I started to follow a little bit, but still, you know, not a chance of getting too much information all the way back. But once I got here, I realized, you know, this is the best league, obviously, and this is where I wanted to be and compete. But for me, it was a matter of just taking a step by step, making it, you know, making a name for myself in the minors first, learning the language, learning the hockey, and being part of the organization, and then make it to the NHL. And once I did, try to stay, and then from that point on, kind of making the steps, you know, that led me to be in one team for 18 years.
We're talking to Patrick Eliash in studio on Boomer and Geo. Now, I know most hockey guys are like, don't fuss about me. I'm out here. I'm playing hockey. I'm a hockey player. It's about the team. But this is an individual honor for you. Now, I know you had great teammates. You won two cups, but that's your number and your name that's going up there. What are those emotions when the focus is on you now? I mean, this is about you. This night is yours. I mean, is it almost a little bit uncomfortable because of your humble background?
Well, it is being, you know, I'm being honored for obviously what I've done, but as you said, you mentioned everybody that is part of it, and it's true. You know, we're playing a team sport. This is not an individual sport, so you have to have the support of your teammates and coaches and parents and family and friends. I'll be nervous. I'll be, you know, there's gonna be a full house and. I'm going to have to talk for a little longer period of a time. And
you want to practice here? What are you going to say?
I've already tried it yesterday with the fans. I had a get-together with the fan club for the Devils. So I tried, and I was caught myself a few times. I'm like, hey, this is actually going to be part of my speech, so I got to stop, you know, talking to you guys.
I think it's awesome. I think it's a richly well-deserved honor. There's no question about that. I've been to a couple of the Ranger ceremonies. Yeah. And I mean, it's powerful. It's a way for a fan to, I think, stand up and really just recognize what you gave them and all the success and all the big goals, all the moments that will be etched in the memory of those fans. And look, I played for 14 years, didn't have nearly the success that you had. You'll have your Hall of Fame day too. That's in the very near future, I'm sure. But I just, you know, it's just one of those moments where all your family and friends that are around you, all the people that you've known in New Jersey since you've been here, I'm sure are all going to be there. I'm sure they're all really excited for you. And I just think it's just going to be an awesome night. I really do. And the fact that it's against the Islanders makes it even that more sweeter.
Yeah, right, of course. And speaking of the Islanders for a second, they got a guy in John Tavares who, of course, his contract is up. We're approaching the trade deadline. The Islanders want him to remain an Islander for the rest of his career. You're one of the rarities in pro sports. You played your entire career with one team. How important to you was that you weren't a guy that bounced around? You were loyal. The team was loyal to you. You were great for a long period of time. Was that something that was really important to you, or just sort of worked out that way?
Well, the loyalty part was, and the family part was always, thought with Lou being the manager, and he really emphasized on that. And but it wasn't always the case. There were a time where I was really close of leaving the Devils, and Boomer won't be happy, but it was I almost became one of his team that he liked.
Yeah, no, let me just tell you, be glad that you didn't, because every time you get one of you guys, it just doesn't seem to work out.
Right, I know, exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Bobby Holik and Scotty Gomez and everybody else. Even if Martin Brodeur would have came over, he would have been like a sieve in front of our defense. It's brutal right now.
So at the end of the day, you know, looking back, obviously, after all these years, it's my biggest accomplishment in my career to do it all and play my whole career for one team. And John Tavares, you know, he's an unbelievable player. He's talented. You know, a great guy. He took me one time when we were together at the All-Star game. I had a plane go next day, obviously, going on with some of my friends, and he took me on a private jet. He goes, hey, I got a private jet. You want to get home tonight? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. You know, it's like, what a great guy. So I got on a plane with him, and the Yaroslavl was awesome.
Let me ask you a question. If you were him, and I know it's hard to talk about somebody else's situation because you don't really truly understand what it means for him to put on the Islander jersey and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, he is a valuable commodity. If the Islanders really want to try to, you know, improve their team in the future, assuming – that now they're going on this 8-game road trip, they may not make the playoffs. I mean, if you're Garth Snow and you're in that situation as GM, what do you do?
Yeah, that's a tough one because he is the franchise player.
Did Lou Lamoriello ever come to you like towards the end of it? I'm sure about this. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking you. Did he ever come to you towards the end of like a contract where they may have traded you or they may have considered trading you? And did they ever ask you if you ever wanted to be traded, anything like that?
He never came to me and said, listen, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, or, you know, or even obviously later on when I had the no trade clause,
right?
Never came to me that, you know, if I was willing to, you know, waive those. But I'm sure there were times where he thought about trading me, and, you know, you hear rumors throughout the career, and but it never happened.
So
and,
for Garth Snow, I mean, like, is there a win-win here? Is there any way that, you know, or what is the best situation for somebody like Garth Snow? What kind of decision can he make to help the franchise? Because I would think as the general manager, as Lou was the general manager for a long time for the Devils, it's all about the franchise. It's not really about the individual player, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think you got to have an honest communication with the player. You know, where the team is going, and on the other hand, where the player wants to be. You know, John Tavares is, as I said, is a tremendous hockey player, a great person, and I'm sure he wants to win. So that, I think my situation was a little different because I was so used to being in the playoffs, and when you are in the playoffs, you always get a chance to win and compete for a cup. So, and I won the cup already prior to that. So, you know, for him, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes the route of trying to go to the championship team and have the chance to.
Which is amazing because that would mean off-season free agency,
right,
which he probably deserves to go and explore and see if there's somebody out there that's willing to give him a big contract. But at the end of the day, if they don't make the playoffs and they lose him, then they get nothing in return for him. Those are tough decisions.
Yeah. That's why it's good not to be a GM.
Right. It's Patrick Elias in studio with us. How bad do the Rangers suck right now, Patrick? I mean, geez. Goaltender has no idea what he's doing, giving up goals left or right. He's getting yanked. Selling off the team. I mean, they're sending a letter to the fans hey, be patient with us because we're trading away all your favorite players. That's a tough spot.
But I think Patrick would appreciate what he just said. At least the team is being honest with their players.
With
the fans. And they're saying to Rick Nash, hey, Rick, where would you like to be traded if we can trade you? Hey, Ryan McDonagh, are you willing to waive your no trade clause? And if you are willing to waive it, who would you like to be traded? They're trying to do the right thing.
That's got to affect the room, though, doesn't it? I mean, you see a letter that they're going to basically trade away your buddies and your teammates. Doesn't that affect the room a little bit?
But I think the team, the room already knows the situation they're in. And they're kind of, you know, they're honest. And if you're honest with yourself, you know that this is going to be probably happening because they haven't performed to the way they wanted to and be in the playoffs. And if they were in the playoffs, then obviously this wouldn't be
an issue,
obviously. So. But I remember Brendan Shanahan said in one of his speeches, I think it was for a Hall of Fame, that he was in that situation when he went to Carolina and they were making the playoffs. And, you know, the GM came to him and asked him where he wants to go. He ended up in Detroit. So good things can, and he won there. So the good things can come out of it for both teams because Carolina eventually got a good players and won the cup later on. He won the cup with the Detroit. So you know, I think that when you're in that situation, you have players that you can get that are, you know, high commodity, you can improve the team.
Well, hopefully that would be the case for us.
It takes time sometimes.
It is, and it's hard. It's hard, you know, and I know the Devil fans have been through it. Now, the Devils, on the other hand, are surprisingly good, and they got a couple really talented young players, but this Taylor Hall basically has come out of nowhere.
Unreal.
You talk about a great trade for the Devils and acquiring a high-end, top-end talent who can skate like the wind to go along with Hischier now and also Jesper Bratt, and think about some of the young players this team has got, so the future's pretty good here.
Yeah, but I think that you ask, or if you go back a year, not everybody thought maybe it was that good of a trade, you know, because Adam Larson was become a better and better defenseman, and you know how hard the great defensemen are.
True.
You know, they're very valuable.
You got to give up something to get something, though.
Exactly.
Right?
But Taylor Hall was always a good hockey player, talented, you know, number one pick overall. But the way he's been playing lights out this year, the team obviously wouldn't be where they're at right now without him because he's a clutch. And I think it's unbelievable to see that he's making that extra step and to another level. And I'm so happy for him and for the organization.
We got this charity hockey game coming up on Friday, March 2nd. Mikey Strong charity hockey game. I haven't skated in 20 years. I'm not kidding you, 20 years. And Boomer's putting goalie equipment on me. I have to be a goalie.
I know why. You're going to play against him probably. That's why. He wants to score some goals.
I'd like to.
I mean, all right, I'm out of shape. I am not really all that athletic. Haven't skated in 20 years. Goalie equipment. Give me one piece of advice so I don't embarrass myself when I get out there on the ice.
Just lay down. Some guys have a hard time to lift the puck up, so he'll catch everything that goes on the ice.
At the end of the day, I always thought Craig did a great job playing goalie, but then I figured it out. His guys weren't trying to score. They were actually trying to hit him with the puck.
Yeah, that was the other way.
So hopefully that will be the break that you get. Well, listen, Patrick, congratulations on an unbelievable career. Have a great time Saturday night. You're well-deserving of the award that the Devils and the fans want to give you. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck. Yeah. And we'll see you on March 2nd. I know you'll be there, right?
Yeah, don't mess this speech up, man.
I don't know, because we might be heading back to Europe back to Czech. So,
okay.
But I was part of it last year. It was a great event. It was awesome. And you guys are doing a great job with that.
All right. Appreciate it, Patrick. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Patrick Elias, everybody.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Moment of the day!
And we actually did a bunch of Olympics talk earlier in the morning, including a big curling upset as the U.S. men took down Canada.
Curling in Canada is like bowling is here. Let's go curling.
You ever curled?
No, I've never curled. Actually, there's a Long Island Curling Association, believe it or not. It doesn't excite me.
Okay, then.
But the way they get involved and scream and yell, it's amazing.
If we had a curling team, Boomer would be the one that just rolls the thing down and then yells at us to to scrape
to
properly.
Basically, like in all his properties.
Is that the same?
What? I smell another ass-looking face coming.
Could you imagine Eddie sweeping? He'd fall over.
There you go. Another great one-liner from Eddie's
Gazzari. By the way, the thing that you slide it down, you don't roll it down, is called a rock.
The rock.
Awesome. All right. It's amazing how we all become experts after seeing a sport only every 4 years, right?
No, I know. Yes. The same conversation comes up in 4 years from now. I'd be like, oh, it's curling? It's crazy.
Yeah.
They're going to run and sweep it.
Scream at the TV like we know what the heck we're talking
about. All right, speaking of people who like to fall over, how about if you live with somebody who snores?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.